Right, this is the Cool Shit Podcast. Each week, we round up the latest cool shit, helping us think different and keep inspired. What makes it in, what gets left out, and what gets challenged. Is it cool? Is it shit? Or does it cross the magic threshold and come bona fide, certified cool shit? Welcome to the editor's meeting. And we're live, and when we say live, we mean we're just recording. It's not live at all, but we're live! Welcome to the Cool Shit Podcast episode 32. My name is Gareth Carter. Okay, some familiar faces sat in the room. For this girl to be back again after saying so many times that she doesn't like doing it, she doesn't like listening to her voice, she just does not want to be here, yeah?
You don't give me much of a choice, Gareth. You're my boss.
She said she was looking forward to it today, though.
Are you looking forward to it?
I actually am. I feel like the stories are quite interesting, and it's potentially my last one for a little while.
Oh, yeah. You're going on a little sort of like sabbatical where you'll still be working.
Yeah. Also, we can't make this... Shanice did this last week. We can't get on someone who just says, I'll fuck it off soon.
But no, I'm happy to be here today. I'm in a good mood.
You know when Kyra... We're talking about Kyra here, by the way. You know when Kyra's happy because she holds her cup with two hands. Mm. It means that she's feeling comfortable and relaxed and ready to go.
Exactly.
Okay, and talking of ready to go, here he is again. Jaron, how are you going?
Very well.
Good. What a wally. James is now holding his glass of water with two hands.
I'm trying to be cute too.
How are you, little cutie? How are you?
I'm all right. As we just said, my foot hurts. But other than that, I'm basically fine.
Your foot hurts?
Yeah.
There's always something, isn't there?
Unfortunately, yes, there literally is.
Okay, well, we don't have much time, but go on quickly. Why is your foot hurting?
Ran a half marathon, set a new world record, and and hurt my foot, and I've got tendonitis.
Now, we had that story a couple of weeks ago about the man that was smoking a 20-pack when he was doing his marathon. Do you do a similar sort of routine?
No, but had I done, then that might have actually helped.
That would have helped your foot, yeah.
Exactly. Well, actually, it might help because I would have fallen over wheezing, and I would have stopped running rather than just going through the pain.
There you go, kids. Always make sure you're smoking when you're running. Okay. And the stories for Cool Shit this week. We have a little pre-meet about this, don't we, James? We do our due diligence. And I thought the stories were really... they were really quite something this week, James. Well done.
Well, thank you. I mean,
or should we be thanking the world?
Oh, the world. I didn't do anything. I just collated them. But I've got a discerning eye for spotting the story.
We usually talk about the newsletter at the end, but James is the chief editor, the little chief, aka the little chef of our Cool Shit newsletter that goes out every Friday. This is what the podcast is about. It's an editorial meeting, and we discuss the story. So, James, what is the first story?
Well, the first one, it was going to be, I saw something earlier and I was going to do a late sub. It was one of those things of a video, like a time-lapse video of a guy who had taken a selfie every day for 9 years, which at first I thought was quite cool. But then I realised that Kyra does that anyway. So it's not actually that noteworthy.
Fuck you.
So yeah, fuck your yawn as well. I was going somewhere with that. So anyway, right, Tuvalu, which sounds like the way my nan says goodbye, but is actually a country, is set to become the world's first digital nation in the metaverse as they're in danger of being forced online due to rising sea levels threatening to submerge the real Tuvalu underwater.
So it's a little island of firsts, isn't it? Because it will technically, probably, predicted to be the first island that will be taken up, or one of the first islands to be taken up in the climate crisis and disappear from the map, essentially, right?
Yeah, as has happened, I don't know if you've been watching Ancient Apocalypse on Netflix, but as has happened for loads of places throughout history, but this one, apparently the rising is kind of particularly significant now that it could actually be wiped out kind of in fairly soon rather than in 1,000 years or something.
So let's dig into it a bit. What do they mean? So they are going to start a new nation, a meta nation in the metaverse, so that people will... Well, I don't know. To what means, to what ends, do you think?
Well, I'm not sure, and I kind of wanted to get your view on this, because I think it's mainly just a kind of a PR marketing stunt kind of thing to make to get a bit of attention, because they released a video announcing this intention at the same time as COP27, basically saying how because COP26 they didn't actually do anything, they're now being forced to go online because they're going to lose their actual island. So I don't know to what extent they're actually going to do it, but it seems like you can become a citizen of Tuvalu in the metaverse.
I was going to say, isn't the idea, the whole point is like to preserve the nation so that like, I don't know, like their grandchildren and stuff can see what it was like when it doesn't exist anymore.
Well, that's what I wasn't sure about, because I don't know if that's actually, I don't think that's the compromise that they're happy with. They're just saying, oh, we'll just move online. I think it's to draw attention to the issue. What are you laughing at?
I just said, it's all right, we're just going to move online. It's fine. You want to access the island? Go, it's all online now. It's fine. I think it's a really interesting point, and the point that Kyra made there. A couple of things with this story. Imagine if there was in the metaverse was a like-for-like Rome. Now, we know from, you know, archaeology what we think and we've learned about Rome. But imagine if you had the Rome, where you could walk down the exact streets, you could see all the shops, we had all of that information. Imagine how amazing that would be, right? So to do that with, you know, potentially something that will be in non-existence very soon, that seems like quite a bright, clever, forward-thinking thing to do, right?
Yeah, I don't think like the technology is that advanced, because there's something about kind of being, I know VR is pretty good now, but there's something about actually being in a place and the kind of the sounds, the smells, the more tactile stuff that would be quite hard to...
Oh, sure. So you would want to go around real Rome with a headset on going, nah, can't smell it. Load of bollocks.
I want to be able to smell ancient Rome. Yeah, exactly.
So I did see something interesting on the Lex Fridman podcast with, I'm going to say his name wrong, but Balji
Srinivasan.
Thank you. James has said the name for me because I couldn't say it properly. But he was saying something quite interesting on that, saying that the future of belonging to cultures is sort of changing as we enter a period where, in a decentralized system, for instance, if you want to be Catalan, people from all the world could join Catalan digital verse. They could spend money and be taxed on that, and that tax could go to the Catalan cause. What I'm trying to say is that borders are not so much a thing when you're thinking about the metaverse. And this is, while I get what you're saying, the technology might not be there, this could be the start of something quite interesting.
No, for sure. That makes more sense to me. Because even the idea of physical borders can sometimes be kind of quite hard to justify themselves from a sort of moral and philosophical standpoint, because like it's very much luck of the draw where you happen to be born and you can't go anywhere else. And the world has obviously become more interconnected with the internet and stuff, and then kind of as you're saying, this would then be the next step on that, where physical borders make sense, like if you hit water or something, but obviously you don't have that issue in the metaverse, so we're all going to become I'm now just thinking, is this just the new world order and there's going to be one centralized government that can just manage everything?
Jaron, what are you thinking about this story?
I think, I generally don't really get it either in terms of like what their end goal was, but I'm here for it. Like, it's, everyone's talking about it, right? So, but then we've been here before. Everyone's spoken about something about climate change and this and that. And I don't know, we always find ourselves back in the same situation of burning electricity, burning fuel, like, I don't know. It's a talking point. What I don't like, though, actually, I've seen, obviously, this article's popped up everywhere, and the first time you read it, every time I see it, it's like, ah, they're going on the metaverse, and then you read it, it's like, oh, yeah, it's a grave, horrible situation. Like, it's presented in a nice way, like, hey.
I think that's the modern world that we live in. It has to have something, and I think that's the way they've approached it. It has to be clickable. So I think that they've created something that has that PR factor that, unfortunately, you're totally right. Like, these big issues seem to wash over you. People don't seem to connect with it for whatever reason. And this is a way to sort of increase that connection with it and go, oh, that's interesting. And then actually lean in and go, like, oh, fucking hell, there's a really big point here.
But that's what I did wonder. It almost, to me, just feels like a clever marketing campaign. And it's like a load of people in the creative agency have sat around thinking, oh, this we'll get an award for this. Like, that's why I slightly question the sincerity of it.
But even so, even if it is like a PR stunt, I don't know, I've read it and felt like really sad. And I feel like that's the point. Like, if it's hitting people and like it's a PR stunt, at least it's like kind of a bit of a call to action.
The cause is legit.
Is it going to call you to action? Are you going to do something tomorrow? Are you going to get up? Are you going to fight for the cause of this island? I don't know. Like, will a certain amount of people do that because of this? I think that's the question that James is raising.
But what are we? Yeah, what do they want us to do? Because like, at some point it's going to disappear though. Because like, if you go back thousands of years, as I said earlier, like there was a lot less water in the world. If you're an island and you're very close to sea level, eventually you're not going to exist anymore.
James, just a quick question: do you believe in climate change?
Well, that's a leading question. I believe the climate is changing.
But do you think that's a natural thing? That because there is, you know, it's true that the Earth changes axis and it goes through different periods.
Yeah.
And in terms of like how hot the Earth is, do you think this is a natural thing, or do you think that this is a man-made problem? Well,
that's the thing. Climate change is definitely real. I think the bit that's slightly more debatable is the exact extent of man's or humankind's impact on it during the like Anthropocene, when humans have actually been around. Like, I think you're mental if you say climate change isn't happening, because like oceans are rising. But kind of as I said before, that was happening anyway. And the other thing that I question is how much difference you can make on an individual level. Like, is the kind of recycling, washing out your yogurt pot and putting it in the green bin, is that kind of slightly for show and to make people feel better, when I think it's something like it's 100 companies contribute to like 70% of emissions.
Then I think
this
is where it gets interesting, and this story gets interesting. It's governments that can make these big
starts
changes.
Starts at the top.
Yes.
Yes.
It's governments that can make these huge swathing changes. And whether it's a natural change in our temperature that was going to happen anyway, man has reached the point where we can change probably the temperature of the Earth with our actions. So for that, I think it's wicked.
I agree. that's why I bought it. Don't look at me like I've done something wrong.
So Liquid Death are a water company in the US who've become like quite notorious for their slightly out there marketing, and they've just released this new video of a couple of online trolls of the brand trying to identify what they've called the worst water in the world, which sounds fairly standard. It's like a blind taste test, which is like a YouTube video for people who have run out of ideas. The twist, and it's quite a big twist, is that if these trolls fail to successfully identify Liquid Death from a lineup, they get tased with 50,000 volts of electricity.
I thought this was hilarious. I just thought it was really, really funny. Like, so Darren's looking really disgusted. Like,
wait, 50,000 volts? Like,
that's what it says. That's what it says.
They cranked it all the way up in the video.
That's
someone,
such
like,
a lie. Isn't that a killer person?
I thought this was so American. I thought it was so American. I was like, this just feels really dark, weird, twisted, internet-y. I felt kind of uncomfortable when I was watching it, but in a way that I was like, okay, you know what? Good content. It was good content, right?
It was, and they do a load of stuff like this. It was quite funny at the end though, like these two poor blokes who have just been shot with electricity going, yeah, I quite like the water now, actually.
They do get a bit contrite at the end, don't they? Yeah.
Yeah.
Kyra, did you enjoy this?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
You're such
video.
A nice person. How did you enjoy this? I thought you were all like rainbows and unicorns.
I just feel like it's like genius marketing, like taking on the trolls. Like, you've seen someone that's like chatting shit about you online, you're like, all right, come test it. I thought that was quite good. And also, I don't know, tasting the difference between water, I just want to say I can do that. I can taste the difference between Volvic and Evian if you were to blind taste.
Right, someone get a taser. Someone bring a taser in.
So I think I'd be quite good at it. So yeah, I enjoyed it.
I thought and an interesting point that you made, I thought it's always fun to put a face to the trolls, right? Because trolling always feels anonymous, and it's nice to see the trolls, because trolls are just normal people, right? We think of them as, you know, a band of like evil, sort of like nefarious people, but they're just normal Joes and Bobs in their home that are like, you know, like commenting on stuff. Do we believe that they were really trolls, or do we feel like it was set up?
It might be set up. I'm not sure they were really trolls. I'm not sure they were actually electrocuted. I'm not sure I'm even here right now.
All right, so taste test. Jaron, what do you reckon that you would actually go, do you know what? I'm so good at this. I'm so good at tasting this that I would be willing to get tasered for. So Kyra's already said that, you know, she can taste the difference between Evian and
Volvic.
And Volvic.
Just those two.
Yeah. Just
have you got anything that you're like, do you know what? Like, I would take that test with a taser strapped to me.
I don't know. Different flavours of ice cream. I can tell strawberry from chocolate. What do you want from me?
Like Diet Coke and regular Coke.
Yeah, okay, that one. What Kara said. And Pepsi. I definitely taste Pepsi.
I could 100% do Diet Coke versus Coke Zero. With a taser strapped.
I'd say beers. I could do beers. Like various kind of your standard lagers.
A mile off.
Yeah, your standard lagers, I think I'd be able to identify them fairly well.
Yeah. Okay.
But that's because I have a drinking problem. There's a slightly bigger point, like the way people speak on the internet and stuff and kind of resort to hyperbole of like, this is the worst water ever, this is it. And then as you said, like, you see them in person and they're just like, oh, it's not that bad actually. I guess I was just saying stuff for the sake of saying stuff. So hopefully it will cause people to choose their words slightly more intentionally.
Kyra, have you got a story to bring to the editorial meeting for the Cool Shit podcast this week?
I do. I was saying to you earlier, I don't feel like it's very cool, or it's not very cool, but it's controversial.
Do you understand the process
this happens a lot, podcast?
But it's controversial, and it's to do with like advertising, and I feel like we all work in advertising, so you guys should have some opinions.
Okay.
So it's about what's been going on with Balenciaga at the moment.
Yeah, with the kids.
So Balenciaga have just launched a holiday campaign featuring children holding bags that are shaped like teddy bears, and the teddy bears appear to be wearing what looks like BDSM bondage-inspired accessories. I've got a picture if you haven't seen it yet. What's weird about it, I mean, you can see what's weird about it, but the campaign isn't for children, so it's weird that they're already there, and then the fact that the bears are wearing like 50 Shades
gear. Who's it for then?
Balenciaga. It's Balenciaga. It's a campaign for adults, so there's no...
What's it selling exactly? Do we know?
It's not a product? The bear's not a bag?
I think the bear is a bag that they sell, but it's for their whole campaign.
It's a brand campaign, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. So it's very weird. The company... So everyone was obviously really angry when they saw that the company posted an apology on Instagram and said that the campaign's now been removed. So I've got some more context to add to this, but firstly, I just want to hear your opinions on this. Like, what do you think?
That's fucked. Anytime anyone tries to... I mean, they're not directly sexualizing children, right? But anytime it comes close, like, I don't know.
Yeah, I'll be really honest with you. I saw the hype, and I looked at the first picture I saw. I didn't even notice. Mm. Like, it looked pretty innocent to me. But then when you actually start to look at it a little bit more, I guess you're like, okay, so where are you actually going with this? There's always subversion in the way that they're presenting themselves. On the face of it, I was like not offended at all. I didn't really notice the teddy bear, yeah, but I then did have to look more closely at what was going on in that picture. Yeah. And then I'm like, you are trying to subvert something here. Mm-hmm. So it was a weird choice, right?
It's more just like why, like what was the thought process behind it? It's a bit strange.
But they're always trying to be shocking and get attention, aren't they? Like they're another brand kind of known for sort of PR bullshit, and it feels like, well, I suppose you don't know where the line is until you cross it, and it turns out that line is kids, everywhere.
Anyone could hold in that. Come on, like
yeah. No, it's pretty far. I don't know why they want.
It's really obvious.
Like, and also, they're a big brand. They would have. Sorry to cut you off. This would have gone through a lot of approval. Yeah. And now they're all kind of saying, "Well, it wasn't us. It was the photographer. It was the set designer." They're all sort of pointing the pedo finger at each other.
Yeah, and then so to make it worse, so obviously the public were really angry at all of this, and they started to investigate prior ads, and they found this is really weird. So they found in Balenciaga's spring campaign, it included a printout of the 2008 United States versus Williams court decision next to a bag. So it's just like a random piece of paper with writing on it next to this bag. And the Supreme Court decision is related to child pornography. And so this caused more outrage. They've issued like two apologies. I'll show you a picture in a sec. So they've since sued the creative agency. And so they're kind of, like you said, like pointing fingers. And I think it's interesting just because we obviously work at a creative agency, we know how much input the brand, or like oversight the brand would have.
With a brand like Balenciaga, what you find with like high fashion brands is that they have way, way more sway than if you're doing a lifestyle shoot for a piece of outdoor wear or a sneaker or whatever. Mm-hmm. Because they have their in-house creative directors that are really in charge of how that brand turns up. So yeah, agencies at fault, but I really think it's down to the brand on what they're signing off, how they're turning up, and the brief that they're giving out to the creative agencies. Also, I did read this follow-up to the story. I was like, is that just a mistake? I don't know. The problem is that once you're putting kids with teddy bears, people are gonna go looking. And that's the problem that you have when you fuck up in a royal way, is people start to look retrospectively at how you were turning up before. So it's just a case of like, who the fuck signed off the kiddies with the teddy bears? Mm-hmm. Is just as much as a part to play in this as anyone.
Yeah.
Lots of people are getting sacked.
Are they?
Probably.
Right. Yeah.
But they're certainly not getting a raise for Christmas, are they?
But I mean, again, like it's a little bit like Kanye West on this one. I know he's quite connected to the brand, or was until recently. Mm. Are Balenciaga's sales going to dip because of this?
No. I think they actually might. This feels
they won't.
I think they will.
Sorry, go on.
I just saw on TikTok somebody like saw someone wearing Balenciaga and was like, ah, Balenciaga. And everyone in the comments were like, like, why are you getting excited?
I think it's quite tainted from this, yeah. I think this will, we'll find out,
but I think this runs deep and is potentially quite assiduous for
it's
them.
It's the runaway, like, you know, breakout fashion label of the last 5 years. I personally speaking, I don't think it might be a blight on their record, yeah. And I'm not saying this is right or wrong, but I feel as we go into 2023, we are going to see just as much or an increased amount of Balenciaga on the high streets and high profile fashion.
I think they might plateau a bit though, because like,
it might change the way they turn up. Absolutely.
Maybe they have to double down.
That's the beauty of the industry that we work in, because you're always being questioned, you're always reevaluating, you're always pushing yourself to be in new places. So that for me is the interesting part of it. Mm. What is their response? How do they turn up? You know, look at what happened to D&G. There is, previous for this in fashion, and it's how you react to it, which is the interesting part to unfold, I think.
I think their brand, it might affect like their brand ambassadors, like, because Kim Kardashian gave a terrible response saying like, I'm going to seriously think about stopping taking their money because I bloody love kids, but for now, I'm going to talk to them, we're going to see how we can, they said that thing like, we're going to learn together and try to get through this, but like, in terms of signing up new celebrities, I feel like there'll be quite a lot of high profile people who now just wouldn't want to be associated with Balenciaga now, wouldn't want the smoke.
And I do feel like sales will go down. Like, if I, not that I have the money to buy Balenciaga, but like, for example, if I was going to go buy something today, I would definitely not. I just,
you say that, right? Like, but I do see a lot of Balenciaga on the high street, like, just like people wearing it. And like, no offense to the people that's wearing it, I am not commenting on them, but they don't look like they're celebrities to me. They don't look like they're people that have got like bags of money that are turning up in. That's like also, an Aston Martin.
That's also why people won't boycott it, right? Like, it's easy to burn a pair of Wheezy's when he like fucks up, because what, 150 quid, like, you can get on your high horse, but for your 20 grand you spent on this Balenciaga outfit, like,
it might stop you buying new stuff though. Huh? You might not destroy your existing stuff, but you might think, I'll go somewhere else for a $20,000 bag or whatever.
I'm still on Gareth's side though. It might be a blip, like you say, but like, it's still gonna.
Okay, so you two are on the side of Balenciaga on this.
Oh, that's not what we don't try and twist our words, little chef.
I have a story about art.
Great.
I'm just going to read out the headline. AI-generated paintings imagine how famous historic artists would illustrate the climate crisis. And I think it's cool, right? Because art has always and will always like take its stance, and you'll be able to look back throughout history and almost be able to tell what the state of existence was based on, you know, artists' renditions of it. It tends to follow suits like through depressions and recessions and everything, and the good times and all. Anyway, these two companies got together, never heard of them. Ken Bromley Art Supplies and Lacuna 5. Anyone?
No.
No, I didn't think so. But they got together and they've produced this series of, I want to say paintings. They look like paintings, but they're obviously digital. Sort of depicting, you know, artists from Dali to Warhol, Picasso, like everyone. Depicting different points of climate change, whether that's overpopulation, deforestation, you know, coral reefs, all sorts of things. And it's fucking wicked. Like, they look cool. Like, they've done a super job of, reenacting, impersonating.
Impressions.
Like, resembling. Bringing it to life. And they look fucking awesome. And I think just following on from what I said, like, how art sort of defines an era. This is kind of where we're at, right? Where art is moving digital, even like the sort of visceral, physical side of it. You're left with this, which is all quite telling and quite, you know, prolific in its storytelling.
I think there's like a Starry Night Vincent van Gogh one in there, which was really good, of like a polar bear on a shrinking ice cap, which I thought was like, that was a standout one for me. I think you raised a really interesting point, which I find interesting when you put it in the lens of AI. Art is so important to culturally understand where society is, and it's a historical thing that really helps us understand the psyche of society in the past and what's happening. Now, this is where this story gets really super interesting, because we're now at a point where AI is now searching what we're talking about on the internet and then reflecting that through art. That's where I find this like super interesting. So, whether you believe in the climate crisis or not, what it is showing is it's showing our anxieties that we're sharing online and through the media, and doing it in, you know, in a totally, as you say, like a totally engaging way. I think it's super addressing the story.
Again, though, it's not going to make anyone do anything. Like, you know,
I might get one. Might put one on my wall.
Because that's the thing. They actually do that sick. You know, like with some AI art, like, it 90% looks like art, but there's something that just isn't quite right about it.
Yeah, it looks like AI art.
Whereas, I'm just looking at like the Dali one. Like,
it's perfect.
That is literally perfect. And the Greta Thunberg Warhol, like that would be someone that he would kind of go for. So yeah, it's actually superb. And it's interesting the point that you made about like how you can tell from, you can sort of tell what an era or period was like based off of the art. The fact that there's so many different styles here, like, it's almost like then what's defining of our era potentially is how it's not defined by one thing, because it's so eclectic, because we've now got access to all of the art that has ever been, and not just access to it, but can kind of recreate it, but with contemporary messaging, I guess.
Yeah, interesting. Kyra?
Yeah, I mean, it's very cool. Anything AI just kind of blows my mind. Yeah. Like, I'm like, I don't get it. Like, the fact that it can recreate them so well. But yeah,
it's not even recreating though, isn't it? It's like
they made shit. They've actually made stuff.
It's making it new, but through the lens of, say, Picasso or like Dali, and it's quite amazing. This boom of AI art has, like, this is the year of AI art.
Yeah, and it's cool that it's like, I don't know if this is the right word, but like immortalizes an artist. Like, you can now see what they could have made now. I don't know. It's very, very cool.
Again, that's an interesting point. Yeah, like, it's taking, you know, that Warholian aesthetic, and it's like, you're right, it's like Warhol lives on. There is an eternity that AI art is now adding to it. It's questionable, isn't it? Like, would Warhol approach it like that? Would he have his own inflection that would be anywhere similar to that? We will never know. However, the Warholian style is something that we can learn for future generations through AI art, and that's interesting, right?
Yeah, very cool.
All right, James, what stories have you liked? What stories are you keeping? What's staying? What's happening? What are you saying?
Well, I absolutely love the Balenciaga campaign. I think it's divine.
Yeah, Kyra, you just brought something that you were like a bit miffed about, right?
I just wanted to talk about it.
Yeah,
and it was a worthy discussion. It's not going in cool shit.
Fair, fine.
But that is kind of why we have the podcast as well, to talk about things that are relevant and we should be talking about, but aren't going to go in a newsletter called cool shit. What else have we got? So, what did I bring? Tuvalu. I think we're fairly unanimous on that.
I thought it's an interesting story.
And it's what we didn't really talk about the video, but it's well made as well, and it kind of, it's got a slightly sort of militaristic, like, your country, your world, whatever needs you sort of feel. So I thought it was well executed, and it's quite a neat idea. Like, when I said earlier, like, it would be something that a creative agency would think, like, oh, we can win an award for that. That sounds kind of pejorative, but it also is potentially like award-winning work. So that's a thumbs up from me. But trolls getting electrocuted. It's good fun, isn't it? Like that. And I'm slightly intrigued by Liquid Death as well, because I've been following them, because they sponsor like every podcast in America, like same with like Manscaped, and it's just like a new way of that kind of shock and awe marketing, which I think you're seeing more and more now, which I quite like.
There's something about like when you boil things down to a baseline, it can sometimes just be really off and just like on the nose and stupid and throwaway. Sometimes, and I don't know what that line is or why it does work, some things just work. This was one of them. I agree.
Yeah, this was one of them. The Balenciaga thing was not. And then the AI art, like the I actually saw this as well, and the only reason like I didn't bring it is just because I feel like I talk about AI a lot, but
we do talk about AI.
But in fairness, now I'm thinking, but this is the way we were talking about Dali when we first became aware of it, whatever, 6-9 months ago. Like those discussions look a bit sort of basic now, and the technology seems basic compared to what it is now and how much it's developed in such a short space of time, to the point where they're not making like novelty art, they're making actual art. So that's a big thumbs up from me as well.
Amazing. Right, so where can people go and see the cool shit newsletter?
zachagency.com/cool-sht.
Wow. Pressed on with that one very fast.
Yeah. Like, I knew what you were going to ask me, and I thought, I can't be bothered with this. I'm just going to say it.
Yeah, interesting times. Kyra, there's still time for you to make another podcast before you go on your sabbatical that you'll be working on.
Is there?
There is, yeah.
Oh, God, okay. Oh, but let's leave it on a high. I brought a good story. Let's leave it.
You didn't bring a good story.
You didn't bring a bad story. Only one left out.
You know, I feel like I need to take a shower.
Jaren, thank you very much. Thank you, guys. Nice lunchtime discussions. James.
Gareth.
See you next week.
See you.